ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ.
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 టుడే వి ఆర్ రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 1 చాప్టర్ 8 టైటిల్ Prayers by Queen Kunti, text number 30. Janma karma cha vishvatman,
Janma karma cha vishvatman,
ajasya kartu atmana,
ajasya kartu atmana,
తీర్యాన్రిషు యదాసు
తీర్యాన్రిషు యదాసు
తదత్యంత విడంబనం
తదత్యంత విడంబనం.
జన్మ
బర్త్
కర్మ
యాక్టివిటీ
చ అండ్ విశ్వాత్మన్ ఓ సోల్ ఆఫ్ ద యూనివర్స్ అజస్య of the unborn, akartuhu, of the inactive, atmanaha,
of the
vital energy,
tiryak,
animal,
nr,
human being,
rishishu,
in the sages,
yadasu,
in the water, tat,
that,
atyanta,
veritable,
vidambanam,
bewildering.
Translation: of course it is bewildering, O soul of the universe, that you work though you are inactive, and that you take birth though you are the vital force and the unborn. You yourself descend amongst animals, men, sages, and aquatics. Verily, this is bewildering. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The transcendental pastimes of the Lord are not only bewildering, but also apparently contradictory. In other words, they are all inconceivable to the limited thinking power of the human being. The Lord is the all-pervailing supersoul of all existence, and yet He appears in the form of a boar amongst the animals, in the form of a human being as Rama and Krishna, etc., in the form of a rishi like Narayan, and in the form of an aquatic like a fish. Yet it is said that he is unborn and he has nothing to do. In the Shruti Mantra, it is said that the Supreme Brahman has nothing to do. No one is equal to or greater than him. He has manifold energies and everything is performed by him perfectly by automatic knowledge, strength and activity. All these statements prove without any question that the Lord's activities, form and deeds are all inconceivable to our limited thinking power. And because He is inconceivably powerful, everything is possible in Him. Therefore, no one can calculate Him exactly. Every action of the Lord is bewildering to the common man. He cannot be understood by the Vedic knowledge, but he can be easily understood by the pure devotees because they are intimately related with him. The devotees therefore know that although he appears amongst the animals, he is not an animal, nor a man, nor a rishi, nor a fish. He is eternally the Supreme Lord in all circumstances. ओम ज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाखया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम्. वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च. हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पदे गोपेश गोपिका कांता राधा कांत नमोस्तुते. तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये. वांछकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद. हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. हरे कृष्णा. सो वी आर almost towards the middle of Kunti Devi's prayers. He is praying right in front of Lord Krishna. So in this verse it is Janma Karma Cha Vishwatman Ajasya Akrutra Atmanaha Thiryan Rishishu Yadasu Tadatyanta Vidambanam. So this verse is about the inconceivable nature of the Lord's activities, His pastimes, His leela. It is very difficult to approach the Lord in terms of His activities or pastimes because it is very difficult to understand. In fact, we try to approach the Lord's activities according to our conditioning. So, even though we may have heard many stories about the Lord, it is very difficult to accept those pastimes as real because we are coming from a very conditioned background. I'll give you an example. Usually, there are movies which are based on Lord's pastimes. And these movies and stories are named as mythological. There are different kinds of movies and one kind is labeled as mythological movies. And people say, what kind of movies? So, you know, some is action movie, family movie, this, that, so many things. And among them there is mythological movies. Mahabharata is a movie is there, you know, about Krishna. So many other movies which are actually presenting, taking out pastime from Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahabharata, etc. But it is portrayed as just mythology. So it's an offense. And this actually misleads people in general because they lack understanding. In fact, there are big writers, and I know at least one of them, very famous. And his main job is he actually take a pastime from Mahabharata or from Srimad Bhagavatam and then he actually adds his own commentary. He actually fills the gaps. If there is a story and which cannot be explained according to common logic, he actually adds another story in between. And he makes a nice novel out of it. And there are many novels like that. And these novels are then converted into movies and even they win, you know, some kind of awards. Literary awards, movie awards, become very famous. One of those movies, I think, they portrayed Karna as the hero. Actual hero of Mahabharata is none other than Karna. This was the message. So people watch these kind of movies and come to wrong conclusion. And they present Krishna as a person who has immoral values. His morality is not straight. And atheistic people and people in general take a lot of pleasure in these activities. So this is great misfortune. And if you take the scholars, they try to study Vedic literature and try to derive their own meaning. In fact, I was recently reading 8th chapter of Madhya Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So it's a very intimate conversation between Ramananda Roy and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it is very difficult for us to understand the depth of pastimes of the Lord. The depth of our philosophy, it is very difficult. And Srila Prabhupada comments that it is very, very offensive and it is impossible to understand the meaning of this conversation by the so-called scholars who are trying to take a PhD by studying this section of Chaitanya Charitamrita. It means there are people who are actually studying this to derive some meaning and to get some academic awards. One time I was in India and I was just walking through street and one person actually stopped me. Usually we stop other people to give books or something, but this person stopped me and he asked me, what are you following? I said, I am with ISKCON, I am a Hare Krishna, etc. A few things. Then he wanted to directly hear about Radha and Krishna straight on the street. He said, I am a poet, and he started singing some songs. He said, I have composed these songs about Radha and Krishna, the feelings of Radha, feelings of Krishna, and the separation. And he started, big ragas, and he just kept going. And he started saying, I want to understand more about this. And I want to, I want to actually, because it will help my imagination. It will inspire me to sing more and to write, compose more songs. And he was very serious regarding that. And he went on for some time. After that, I said, I referred to Bhagavad Gita, a few other books, and said, I have to go, I don't have time, so see you later. So he was a middle-aged man, he was completely into it, singing different. He said, I have already read Gita Govinda, but that was not sufficient. He was telling me, I have read Gita Govinda. Gita Govinda is a literature Srila Prabhupada advised devotees not to read, because it is so elevated that even a practicing devotee, if he reads, he will get bewildered. Because it is inconceivable. And in fact, instead of making spiritual progress, rather, one's mind can get contaminated. So one could ask, why mind could get contaminated by reading such literature? It is completely about Radha and Krishna. The answer is, we are still conditioned. And we try to project our own thoughts and our own imaginations into whatever we are reading. So, in Sanskrit, this is known as aropita. Aropita means it's an anartha. Aropita. Aropita means projecting our own thoughts into Lord's activities and Lord's pastimes. So, naturally, when we hear intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna, we think about our own past activities which were quite immoral. And one becomes, so that actually triggers one's bad thoughts and the consciousness go exactly opposite direction. So in the 10th canto it is mentioned that this is actually the medicine. 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, after describing the intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna and other gopis, it is mentioned this is actually the medicine for the conditioned soul. It is mentioned it is a medicine. So that one can get purified. Vikriditam Vrajabadhu itam cha Vishnu, that verse. It is mentioned, that is the pastimes of Krishna with all the gopis, that is the actual medicine to cure the material existence. But the point is that one has to be qualified to take the medicine. Now there are different diseases and there can be very strong medicines. So the body has to be ready to accept those kind of medicines. Otherwise it can cause damage to the body. So according to the physical condition of the body, a physician recommends a certain kind of medicine. So currently our medicine is, we are trying to follow 4 regulative principles. We are chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra at least 16 rounds. and we are reading Srila Prabhupada's books. So we read Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion. We can read all Srila Prabhupada's books, but it is recommended we should read sequentially. And one shouldn't jump to 10th canto, and one shouldn't jump to the middle of the 10th canto. Same with Chaitanya Charitamrita. There are intimate conversation between Lord Chaitanya and Ramananda Roy and other great devotees. And if we are systematically reading, yes, we can read everything. But otherwise, we shouldn't just jump into that. And also, we shouldn't think too much about it. If we are not qualified, it shouldn't be our meditation. Krishna's pastimes with his intimate devotees, that shouldn't be our meditation. Because that meditation at this point can trigger unnecessary thoughts. So one has to act and think according to one's qualifications. So I was hearing a lecture in which Srila Prabhupada actually was very careful and very cautious regarding this point, that the neophyte devotees shouldn't jump to a higher platform, and that is the natural tendency of a conditioned being. When we try to practice Krishna consciousness, we always think that we are in a level which we are not. We think we are in an advanced level which we are not. So, Prabhupada mentioned, he was actually going through his own book. So he was going through Srimad Bhagavatam. And the whole Bhagavatam, he was seeing all the pictures of intimate relation between Radha and Krishna, dancing, this, that, so many pictures. So Srila Prabhupada asked, who made my book like this? He took the who has done this? He was not at all happy. Who has done this? So the entire book was practically pastimes of Radha and Krishna and gopis. So Srila Prabhupada was not pleased with that activity. Prabhupada said, I want to see in my books how Krishna controls. I want to see pictures in which Krishna controls. Because we had to understand Krishna controls. He is the Supreme Lord. After that understanding, one can go to a higher path, higher level of the God. That is, first one need to have respect for Krishna. So that is the reason in sadhana bhakti, we say the sadhana bhakti is motivated by fear in one sense. It is motivated by fear. Ichchata akuto bhayam. It is mentioned in second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Shrotavya kirtitavyascha smartavyascha ichchita abhayam. It is mentioned. So the primary motivation or the one driving force, at least in the beginning of sadhana bhakti, is fear of God. So one cannot rule out, yes, our highest philosophy is intimate relation with Krishna, God, and to have to understand the sweetness of Lord, but at the same time we had to understand how Krishna controls. And one actually understand the sweetness, even though now we hear sweetness of Krishna, but actually one understand and one experience sweetness only on the spontaneous platform. So, even our deity worship in the beginning, it is completely based on worship of Lakshmi and Narayan, the principle. That is with awe and reverence. And it is designed in such a way that there are not so many rituals. In different Vaishnava Sampradayas, there are so many rituals. Even Sri Sampradaya, a lot of rituals in worshipping the Lord. It is very complicated. I was hearing a lecture in which it was mentioned that in Tirupati, Lord Balaji is worshipped. To wake Lord Balaji, I think at least 14 Brahmanas are required. 14 Brahmanas, they are actually chanting mantras, Vedic hymns, to wake the Lord up. On the other side, Srila Prabhupada, he said, one devotee asked how to, in initial days, asked Srila Prabhupada how to wake the Lord up. So what mantras? Initially Srila Prabhupada said, no, you just, he said in a very simple way, you know, you just said, oh my Lord, my dear Lord, kindly get up, it is morning. In this way you can wake the Lord up. Initially the devotee was expecting a big procedure, but Srila Prabhupada said, you know, it's very simple, you know, you kindly, you know, with heart you just tell this, that's sufficient. And now also it is established, the deity worship is established, so the mantras are introduced, but it is not very complicated. Very simple mantras, just two lines. And that is, you know, practically saying the same thing in a very nice, poetic, very cultured way in Sanskrit, that's all. but simple terms. Because even our deity worship is aimed at coming to a spontaneous platform. That's the reason actually it is given. So the rules and regulations are not so complicated. So one can actually advance the rules and regulations too much. It may not help actually at a higher stage. At the same time, one cannot neglect rules and regulations. That is also there. So whatever is essential, that is presented in our sampradaya. That is presented in the Hare Krishna movement and the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Now, as devotees, when we come from so many different conditionings and when we approach Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita and different pastimes and activities of the Lord, initially it is difficult to develop an appreciation for that. You know, this is just a story. I had that problem personally. I could actually appreciate the logic, reasoning and philosophy, but when it come to pastimes, I thought, oh, it is, you know, it's pastimes, you know, yeah, it is there, it's all fine, but there's no attraction for that. In fact, even before coming to Krishna consciousness, I was reading one Upanishad. I think it was Taittiriya Upanishad. So I loved it actually when I read, even though I couldn't make out a lot of things out of it. And after becoming a devotee, I actually understood what is written there. You know, the verses I was reading one after another. It is the nature of Upanishad is such that its presentation is very logical, and it is very, very reasoning. You know, verse after verse, it is giving presentation is very reasons. You know, why it is like this, how it is like this. You know, systematic presentation, and to establish even one point, there are maybe, you know, 30, 40 verses. The same logic is presented in so many different ways. So just to establish the connection between Jiva and the Supreme Lord, I didn't understand when I read that. And I read that, you know, I just left it. And after becoming a devotee, I just thought back, you know, oh, now actually I understood what was written there. You know, it was mentioned, you know, like something on a lower level, an example is given. And something on a higher level, example is given. And the connection is given. So in the same way, there is a Jiva, there is a Supreme Lord, and there is a process, the linking process of yoga, connecting Jiva to the Supreme Lord, Bhakti. The three B's, you know, Bhakti, Bhagavan, and Bhakta. So this, to establish this point, there are maybe 40 verses, different examples. Like, you know, earth is given an example of lower form, and sky, higher form, maybe a connection between these two as the linking process, like that. In the similar way, there are some examples. So when I started reading each Upanishad and other books, the logic and reasoning I found so fascinating, so nice. How it is established, this inconceivable nature of the Lord. And all these kind of things, it was, oh, it's fascinating. But when it comes to pastimes, yeah, these are stories. It's fine, I accept, but there is no attraction for that. One cannot relish. So that is the reason, then one has to actually go through the process of devotional service. We had to go through the process of reading, then naturally, oh, it is wonderful. Krishna is so amazing, and Krishna's pastimes are very nice. We had to develop that kind of appreciation. Because only with appreciation, then we have some attraction. And without that attraction, we cannot actually progress in our spiritual life. We cannot progress even in our chanting. So this is the essence. We had to develop attraction. Because the name of Krishna himself is all attractive. Akashyati iti Krishna. It's all attractive. He's all attractive. So we are meant to develop that attraction. And the devotional process, the sadhana bhakti, the regulated devotional process is such that it actually gives attraction in our heart for Krishna. Now, when we look into this verse, first itself it's mentioned, okay, of course it is bewildering, Kunti Devi is telling, right in front of Krishna. That is, of course it is bewildering, O soul of the universe, that you work, though you are inactive. And now, if you see the Sanskrit, Janma Karma Cha Vishwatma Ajasya, the first word used to describe Krishna is Aja. What is meaning of Aja? Unborn. Even the first term Aja, even if you look at the word Aja, that itself is bewildering. Why? It's mentioned, the first line of the purport, the transcendental pastimes of the Lord are not only bewildering but also apparently contradictory. It is contradictory. Aja, the word, if you pick the first word describing Krishna, Aja, that itself is contradictory. Because Aja, the unborn, has taken birth. Unknown has taken birth. You know, we can read in Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita as well. In Bhagavatam says, so in the 10th canto, Jayamane Janardane, Mumuchurmaneo Deva Sumudansi Sumandida Mandam Mandam Jaladhara Jagarjur Anusagaram Nishidhe Tamadbhude Jayamane Janardane Devakyam Devarubhanyam Vishnu Sarva Guhasheha Avirasit Yadha Prachyam Dishinduriva Pushkalaha. This is the verse actually describing appearance of Krishna. So the whole scene is described. How it was the dead of the night, and you know, the trembling of the clouds and the different sounds and different kinds of auspicious omens that is actually taking place. And then at that point of time, Krishna actually took birth. Jayamane Janardane Devakyam Devarupinyam Vishnu Sarva Guhasheha. Again, the same point is mentioned. Vishnu Sarva Guhasheha, one who is actually present in the heart of all living entities, he took birth. And here we can see he is the soul of the universe. He is present everywhere and he is unborn, still he took birth. And it is mentioned, Avirasit Yatha Prachyam Dishinduriva Pushkalaha. That is, in the eastern sky, how the full moon actually comes, rises. In the same way, Krishna is compared to Pushkala, complete moon, full moon. Because other expansions of Krishna, they manifest, even though they are complete, but they manifest different degrees of qualities of the Lord. So all the forms of the Lord are absolute, but the manifestation of the qualities are proportionate. So that is the difference. So when it is mentioned, Krishna's appearance, it is mentioned Pushkala. Dishi Indu means the moon, and Pushkala means the complete moon. Because the moon has different faces. In the same way, the Lord Krishna has different faces. Those faces are different incarnations. Now, same point is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita also, right? Ajopisan avyatma bhutanam ishropisan prakritim samadhishtaya sambhavami atma maya. Ajopisan avyatma. Ajopi, even though I am unborn, avyatma, even though my body never perishes, bhutanam ishropisan, even I am the Lord of all the living entities, still I appear by the strength of my internal potency, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. Sambhavami atma maya, by my internal potency, and also it means out of my compassion, the Lord appears. So it becomes very difficult. This is a contradiction. How the Lord can, unborn can take birth. So it is bewildering and it is contradictory. Now, next contradiction is that akartu atmanaha. So we are talking about the birth, janma, that was the first thing. Then karma, activities. And when we speak about the activities of the Lord, it is mentioned he is akartuhu. Akartu means he is inactive. So we are talking about, first we talked about the birth of the unborn. Now we are talking about activities of the inactive. So that's the second. Karma and akartuhu. Exactly opposite. Karma means the activities, and akartuhu means one who is inactive. So see, again, it is bewildering and it is contradictory. So when we speak about the inactive, usually it is said, Bhagavad Gita says, a living entity cannot be inactive at all. We had to do something. Even in Bhagavatam class, we had to do something. We may be sitting straight. You know, we had to do so many things. The mind wanders. Sometimes we get impatient. Sometimes, you know, if everything is fine, at least we had to breathe. We had to do a few things, you know. So we are always active. Nahi kshanamavi jadu tishtadi akarmakrit. Kshanamavi means even for a moment. And for a moment, one cannot be inactive. If one is alive, he is active. If somebody is inactive, means he is dead. That is our condition, okay? That is about living entities. We are active. One does some one or the other thing, okay? And when we speak about Lord, here it is mentioned, He is inactive. He is inactive in the sense, one, on the material world, in the material sense, He is inactive because He has nothing to do with the three modes of material nature. That is one. Second, His activities are not for any particular reason, as such. It is said that there is no reason. Here, the purport says that point as, in the referring to Shruti Mantra, it is said the Supreme Brahman has nothing to do. Why He is inactive? He has nothing to do. You know, think about, you know, we have nothing to do. We all say, you know, oh yeah, today I have nothing to do, maybe, if we are. The Lord has nothing to do because He has nothing to achieve as such. Because He has everything in full capacity. So what He has to achieve? He has nothing to achieve. We work hard. Everyone works hard. Why? Because for achievement, correct? So that's the reason there is a big fight in the corporate ladder. The big dog will win, correct? Because there is a fight. Because there is some resources are limited or positions are limited and everyone wants to achieve. So there is activities, achievements are there. But for the Lord, there is nothing. Nothing to achieve because He has already achieved everything. By default, He has everything. So that is Krishna. Still, so in that sense, He is inactive, but still He is active. So this is again bewildering. So Shruti Mantra, it is said, Supreme Brahman has nothing to do. No one is equal to Him, equal to or greater than Him. He has manifold energies and everything is performed by Him perfectly by automatic knowledge, strength and activities. Anyone knows which mantra it is referring to? Anyone knows? Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate natat apyadhigo samascha adhigopi drishyate parasya shakti vividhaiva shruyate swabhaviki jnana bala kriyacha. So this is a very famous verse. It is famous due to one reason. Okay, it is mentioned here. It's very important. It gives the activities or the nature of the Supreme Lord. And also it is very important because it is a direct evidence from the Shruti that Parasya Shakti Vividheva Shruyate. That is, the Lord possesses manifold energies, which are actually contradicting completely the impersonal argument. Because according to the impersonalist, the Lord cannot possess so many energies. He doesn't have any energy. Whereas the Shruti Mantra, that which actually is the reference point for the Mayavadis and impersonalists, that Shruti Mantra says that the Lord has multifarious energies. So in that sense, this verse is very important. Now, so we saw that He has activities, at the same time He is inactive. So the old pastimes, if we pick Srimad Bhagavatam, we can see the Lord's activities. As it is mentioned, here gives the examples. Tiryan Nrishishu Yadasu. Tiryak means as animal. The Lord is acting as an animal in the boar incarnation, Varaha. So in the third canto, he is mentioned as Adi Shukara, meaning the original. He is the original boar. He is the original pig, in other words. So what we are saying, it's only a perverted bodies. The original one is the Supreme Personality of Godhead Himself. And we can see His activities. Even though the fight between the Lord, Varaha and Hiranyaksha, it was actually a mock fight. It was not a real fight. For the Lord, is it difficult for Him to kill this Hiranyaksha? It's nothing. But it is mentioned how the Lord was actually, sometimes, you know, He will act as if He is losing. And all the devotees, demigods, they will think, oh, they are calling upon the Lord and they are praying, oh, what will happen? Then next again, He will pick up the weapon and, you know, He will again punch Him. Then again He will come back, you know, this is just a play. It is mentioned in Bhagavatam, third canto. It is just a play of the Supreme Lord. He has nothing. For Him to killing means it's nothing. It is just like you know, one hit and finished. First of all, he doesn't have to come. And even if he comes and if he fights, if he just thinks, that's enough. Hiranyaksha is finished. But then, where is the activity? Where is the pastimes? How the devotees of the Lord can think about the Lord? Because the devotees of the Lord wants to glorify the Lord. So if there are activities, then one can think, glorify the Supreme Lord. So for that sake, he actually acts for the pleasure of the devotees. Next example is given. Tiryak Rishishu. Among the sages. Who is the original Rishi? Narayan. Among the Narayan, two great Rishis. Narayan is the Lord himself. That is Krishna appeared in the form of the Rishi, Narayan Rishi. And Narayan Rishi, he is still there in Badrikashram till now. He is there. He is there. Lord is present as a Rishi. And as we know, even great personalities, they could actually get darshan of Narayan Rishi. So he is there. And for the Lord, for him, is there any need to perform austerities? No, he doesn't have to perform any austerities. Still, Narayan Rishi, he performs austerities. Just to set an example. Just to set an example. Otherwise, he has nothing to do. And we know, even Indra tried to bewilder Narayan Rishi, Narayan Rishi, by sending heavenly damsels. And what happened? Nothing happened, actually. Narayan Rishi and Narayan Rishis, they actually created beautiful, who was that? Urvashi? Yeah, he created Urvashi, who was the most beautiful. And that actually bewildered everyone else. And nothing happened to, even actually Indra got bewildered. Narayan Rishi, they were not bewildered. Indra got bewildered. That was the end result. So this is the nature of the Supreme Lord. He possesses everything. And he can come in any form and he performs his activities. And also mentioned aquatics. Aquatic is Matsya avatar. Matsya is there. Matsya came. Still, he never acted just like an ordinary Matsya. He was always completely spiritual because Matsya avatar is actually known for his beauty. In Bhagavatam, in the first canto, Srila Prabhupada gives which incarnation has particular quality. Matsya avatar is known for his beauty. He's a beautiful Matsya, beautiful fish, the most beautiful fish. And he performed his pastimes, still he never acted on the mundane plane. And the devotees, they glorify. We can glorify the Lord in different incarnations, different pastimes. And Parpur says, not only that, not only all these forms, but ultimately we can see the Lord himself came in human form. That is Rama and Krishna. So that is their Manushya Leela, their Naralila. That is their Naralila. That is, they are just acting like human beings, even though they are not humans. Gudha Kapata Manushaha. In the first canto, it is mentioned by Bhishma Dev. That is, the Lord appeared as Gudha Kapata Manushaha. It's very interesting. Gudha means incognito. Gudha, secret. And Kapata Manushaha, false human. So who is a mocking? He is just false. He is not actually a human being. Gudha Kapata Manushaha, that is the Lord Rama and Krishna. So they appeared to enact human-like pastimes. And without devotion and without hearing from devotees, it is impossible to understand that these pastimes are completely spiritual. And thinking about these pastimes, one can purify one's existence. To understand this, one has to hear from devotees. Otherwise, at best, one would think it is just a pious activity. One wouldn't understand the spiritual nature. Janma karma cha chame divyam. It is divyam. One person was arguing with me. I said, the Lord's activities and the pastimes are janma, birth, are transcendental. It is completely spiritual. So this person, he was studying various scriptures. And, you know, for years he had studied. And he was arguing there, the divyam. Divyam means, it doesn't mean spiritual. It means something pious, something which is good, but it doesn't mean spiritual. No, divyam doesn't mean spiritual. So unless and until, if you hear from devotees, how can we understand the real meaning of Bhagavad Gita? It's just simply arguing. And he was telling the pastimes of the Lord in Vrindavan, they are just like heavenly pastimes. You know, heavenly, he was giving comparing it to in Islam, for instance, there's a concept of heaven where one can enjoy. As he was mentioning, just like that, and we have also, there is a heavenly realm. So he was comparing that and Krishna's pastimes. He was telling, heaven there is enjoyment, and other religions there is heaven, descriptions of heaven, and there are enjoyments described there. In the same way, the Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan are similar heavenly pastimes. That's it. So they reject. So unless and until we come in touch with devotees, we cannot understand that. That is a mercy. Now, the Lord, he came and he has nothing to do actually in terms of killing of the demons. Krishna killed so many demons, but he has actually nothing to do with that. He doesn't have any, he has nothing to do even to re-establish the religion. He has nothing to do with re-establish the religion. Still he did that. So it is mentioned, usually a Yugavata is supposed to re-establish the religion. But as far as Krishna is concerned, he doesn't have to re-establish the religion or kill the demons. His only business is to enjoy with his devotees, to enact pastimes with his devotees. And Krishna only came for that purpose, to enact the pastimes in Braj, in Vrindavan. And since the time to re-establish religion and to kill demons coincided with the appearance of Krishna, Krishna acted in those ways also. And strictly speaking, by his Vasudev expansion. So actually Krishna has nothing to do, and Krishna didn't do anything but enjoyed with his devotees. This is the position of Krishna. How Krishna is Supreme Lord, he is the Supreme Most, and he is simply enjoying, even in his pastime, he is just enjoying with his devotees. So that is the pastimes in Vrindavan. And that is the culmination of Srimad Bhagavatam, the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srila Prabhupada, he really wanted to have a bona fide commentary to the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So when his health was not good, he was really worried that at least there has to be one bona fide commentary to 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and that's why he wrote Krishna book. And because he was thinking, any time I can leave this world, so I need to give this world a bona fide commentary. Because he is an acharya, so he has to establish the samam bonam Krishna. So he did that by presenting Krishna book. And after that he could write actually till 13th chapter of 10th canto. Then he had to leave this world. Now, sometimes there is a question, you know, then how can we understand, how can we get the bona fide commentary of the rest of 10th canto and 11th canto? Of course, his disciples have done the job. They have actually given the purport and commentary based on the previous acharya's work. That is present. And how we know everything is bona fide? Actually, Srila Prabhupada has actually given all the teachings, whatever we have to know, and whole purport, even for the 11th and 10th, 12th cantos, within the 10th canto, and within 10th canto, 13th chapter, and other literatures. He has given everything, actually. Everything. His teachings is complete. He hasn't missed anything, actually. He has given whatever is sufficient. Everything is given. Because even if we read 11th canto, there are so much of commentary from previous cantos, so much of, because it is all linked and the whole philosophy is already present. So this is the point. And when we approach Srimad Bhagavatam in a serving mood, then we can understand. So that involves hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, applying in our life, studying and remembering, and also serving a Bhagavat, that is a Bhagavat devotee. Serving great devotees, that is also part of it. Because Bhagavad means the pastimes of the Lord as presented in Srimad Bhagavatam, and also Bhagavad is a devotee, a pure devotee. So we had to take both these things very seriously. One is serving the literature and serving the person Bhagavatam. With that, one can actually get realization, one can develop attraction for pastimes of Krishna. Now, it is again coming to the same point we discussed, that even just by studying Vedic literature, one cannot understand Krishna and his pastimes. This is a, if you think about it, it's a far out statement. That is, the whole body of Vedic literature is to glorify the Supreme Lord. But even by studying Vedic literature, one cannot understand Krishna. It is mentioned in Brahma Samhita. Do you know anyone? Where is it in Brahma Samhita? Very famous line by Lord Brahma. Vedeshu Durlabham Adurlabham Atma Bhaktav. Vedeshu Durlabham. Durlabham means very difficult to understand, very rare to understand. But Adurlabham, it is very easy to understand. Atma Bhaktav. Devotees, they just give Krishna like this. If you read any purports, practically speaking, of Srila Prabhupada, we can understand Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So a devotee makes it so easy. Now we, in all lectures, we say Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? So if you hear anything from a devotee, he will make this point, who is the Supreme Lord. It is Adurlabham. Practically speaking, it is Adurlabham. It is very easy to understand who is the Supreme Lord. But just by Vedic studies, it is very difficult. The reason is, it is very complicated, and we don't have the right intelligence to analyze and come to the right conclusion. And for the present day, we can also add another statement. The whole Vedic literature is not available. If you want to study full Rig, Sama, Yajur and Atharva Vedas, it's not available. Whatever is there, it is there. But the whole body, some part is missing. And even the whole literature is given, one lifetime is not sufficient to understand. One lifetime is not sufficient. So, we need to actually come to the essence. And as we know, that's the reason Srila Vyasadeva wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. The essence. And when we read the essence, then straight away we can understand who is the Supreme Lord and what are His activities, what are His pastimes. So this is the direct access to the Absolute. Just studying Srimad Bhagavatam in association of the devotees. Then we can actually understand. It is mentioned only by bhakti we can understand Krishna. Bhaktiya mam abhijanati. Bhaktiya ananya shaktiya aham evam vidho arjuna. Gyadum drashtum chatatvena praveshtum cha parantapa. Mentioned a couple of places in Bhagavad Gita, only by bhakti can I be understood, Krishna says. Otherwise we cannot understand. So that bhakti we get through the devotee association. And then a devotee understands the Lord, even though we hear about the Lord. He is not an animal, even though he appears as an animal, he is not an animal. We understand, even though he appears like a man, he is not a man. Even though he appears as a rishi, a sage, he is not a sage. Even though he appears like a fish, he is not a fish. So that is the understanding of a devotee. So we can come to that right understanding. So I stop here and see, is there any comments or questions? Yes, please.
Thank you very much for a very nice analysis of this verse. And all the questions in Bhagavatam are like that. I was recalling that Shanta Param Bhujagiranam. He shan still, in spite of sleeping on the snake, Shanta Param Bhujagiranam, Padmanavam Sureshu, Vishwadharam Gagasaram, Megvarnam Shubhangam, Lakshmi Kantam Kamanayam, Yogi Vendyakam Minam, Vande Vishnu Vayam Sarva Kekna. So everything is inconceivable. And Prabhupada has mentioned.
It's not from Bhagavatam though, right? Not from Bhagavatam. It's not from Bhagavatam, right? Vishwasahasranama. From Mahabharata, yeah. It's from Vishwasahasranama. Shandagaram Bhajagasana Padmanabha Suresha. From Bhagavatam? Oh, really?
Yesterday you were reading Chaitanya Tamil, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is telling how Mayavadi, how they are destroying the whole concept of bhakti. So it's inconceivable.
Yeah.
So what you said is very good. Thank you.
Thank you. Any? Yes, Prabhu.
You mentioned that mentals have a natural tendency to jump to high levels.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, where does that come from, and also how can we curb that tendency?
Yeah, that is primarily coming from our pride. We think we know, and we think we are on a higher level. Now that I have understood, I have become a devotee, I have become advanced. So that nature is there. So we have to be contemplative of our thoughts and action and what we are doing. We have to be conscious primarily what we are doing. Especially when it comes to very intimate pastimes, even though we may read in the course of our reading, but one has to see in which level one can think, one can meditate. So one has to see according to one's level one should think and meditate on the Lord's pastimes. Otherwise, mind get bewildered. Because for karmis, these pastimes are, especially the 10 canto pastimes, are for their enjoyment. Just like watching a movie. Why people watch a movie? For their enjoyment, right? They see hero and heroine, you know, dancing or doing different things. You know, they portray themselves in the same position. In the same way, when they read Bhagavatam or hear Bhagavatam, the speaker as well as the listener, they are in the same wrong motivation. Both are actually enjoying, placing themselves in the position of Krishna and his devotees. And he's thinking, yes, I am the enjoyer. So this is a sad part of hearing Bhagavatam from unbona fide sources. So yeah, we had to be careful. Any further questions or comments? Okay. Thank you very much. Grantha Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Sita Gaur Premanande.